So today, Emerging Cricket is joined by Philippines assistant coach, development officer, Mr. Kind of Do Everything, Evan McCall, and a very friendly little cat around the chairs we're sitting on. How do you do, Evan?
Very well. Very calm now after a very close game. But yeah, great to be with you and everyone that's listening.
Fantastic. Yeah, it was a very tense finish there last over. So I mentioned you have quite a few job titles. What would you say, I guess, is your main role here at Philippines Cricket?
So as the development manager, anything that builds cricket is my main role. So specifically, we try to push junior development into schools with training squads and such for interested players. And also, we're really keen on pushing Filipino cricket. So traditionally, the sport's been around in the Philippines since 1914, but was very much an expat thing to do. And the late, great Ian Sinclair was the one that came up with the idea, alongside Faisal Khan, to change that and to try and be a lot more inclusive of the people of this nation. And so just to see the development that happened before I even arrived here and the traction we're starting to get now is amazing. So we're looking to further build that, especially in juniors and women's cricket.
Yeah, the stand at the other end is named after Ian Sinclair, and he's by all accounts a bit of a legend here at Philippines Cricket. Could you just maybe go over briefly what he achieved in his time here?
So Ian was the founder of Philippine Cricket Association, which is the national governing body for cricket in the Philippines. He was also a key figure in pushing for us to have Olympic membership. So we actually now are a member of the Philippine Olympic Committee. So that classes us as a national sports association, which builds our legitimacy, I guess, but also shows that there's a good coverage of bringing Filipinos into the game. So generally over here, they want to see Filipinos participate in a sport before they'll allow them that sports body to be a member. So it shows that we're on the right track in that aspect, and it's really good. And Ian was a massive supporter of everything cricket in the Philippines, and as such is titled by all of us quite affectionately as the father of cricket in the Philippines.
And so back to your role, I guess. You mentioned you're trying to get into schools. How's that going? How successful are you at the moment?
Yeah, so we're currently at the Friendship Oval in Dos Mariñas Cavite. So the school here, Emilio Aguinaldo College Cavite, they're very supportive. So we have multiple Filipino teams based out of this school. We also have the Department of Education for the city of Dos Mariñas has given us full approval to run school clinics. So we do a lot of the public schools in the area. We have a few other colleges that are getting on board, and we should officially have some more teams out of that next year, which is excellent. So we're looking to continue to build that, and we're happy to work with anybody that thinks there's a benefit to them. So we look for partnerships where it's beneficial for the school or organisation that we go into. So one of the other things we've done is some barangay visits. So barangays are like a mini local council. So generally they run sports clinics, and they're usually always basketball and volleyball. So we've made a point of saying, well, if you'll have us, we're happy to come and show you guys something different. So we've got some really good reception from that. And even some of the players in our All-Filipino Cricket Club that compete against foreign teams in our leagues have come from that program that we're running. So
yeah, that sounds good. So with the, I guess with those partnerships you mentioned, what are some other examples that you've successfully got going?
So one of the great things that we ran that was very encouraging was we had a high school sixes tournament, which we hosted at Friendship Oval. So we had 8 male and 8 female teams in that, all Filipino and Filipina. So we had approximately 120 students, and there were more females than males. So there was over 60 females in 120. So to have 3 entire days just of cricket with kids that have, some that have come through our programs, but a lot that haven't ever experienced the sport before, was really encouraging. And also just to see like the camaraderie between those players was excellent. So for example, when the awarding of the boys' trophy was done, the team that won invited every other team to come up and join them and get in the photo. So things like that just show that the spirit of cricket is alive and well, even in places you may not be aware of. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, a little earlier you were talking about how you enjoy talking about the spirit of cricket when you go into schools. Do you want to expand on that a little?
Yeah, so I think one of the unique aspects of cricket is the fact that it has a code before the rules even start, a way of conduct that every player, official, spectator, etc. should all follow. And it's not 100% unique to cricket, but I think cricket has the most comprehensive policy of character development when it comes to the sport. And the fact that it's a preface to the rules as opposed to just an annotation inside it or something after it is a really good example of one of the things that makes the sport great. So we very much teach that players should have what we call here Diwan cricket, so quite literally the spirit of cricket in Tagalog. We teach that as a philosophy, which we believe that when a lot of the students don't necessarily come from backgrounds where they have a lot of opportunity, it's something that can help their character grow, and that they can take into any facet of their life outside of sport. So those are the kind of lessons with young students that we as an association feel are important. But also, I think it raises the standard of cricket in general, because you get people that are of high character. And that's only a good thing.
And just on that, I guess, standard of cricket, going back to maybe the more practical playing side of things, what could you give us a bit of an overview of the, I guess, the domestic structure and how cricket happens in the Philippines?
Sure. So we have a 2020 league annually. So we have 2 divisions. It's called the Philippine Cricket League. There's a Division 1, which is quite strong. The standard's not too far off our national team's level. Most teams have at least a few players that you could make an argument for them being included in the national squad. Division 2 is a bit more mixed. You've got a lot of older guys that were good cricketers in their day and maybe just want to enjoy it a bit more. You've got some young college students that are trying to experience a lot of the time hardball cricket for the first time. And everything in between. So in Division 2 we also have a rule where every team must play a Philippine citizen and one that has never played for the national team. So part of our philosophy behind that is that we want to make sure that there's opportunities for Filipino players coming through our programs to develop further as cricketers and to showcase the talent we have here, because we believe that some of them can be the future of our national team. Beyond that, we run a 4-team women's league, so we call it the Cricket Super League. Consciously, there's no women's name attached to it because we believe that men and women's cricket should be equal, so we don't call it the Men's Philippine Cricket League, so there's no point calling one the Women's Cricket League or whatever. So we made a conscious decision to make sure that we give that the respect it deserves. The standard of that isn't maybe the strongest, but we have some very dedicated players in it, and we're starting to find that most teams have a few players that are quite good, so that's something we're just growing every year. And outside of that, we run an under-19s league as well. So for our 2020 cricket, we run those three in a structure. We're looking to start a all-Filipino division next year as well, whether that be junior or senior men's, depending on the numbers and who wants to play, maybe even both. And hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we'll have an under-15s league running as well. So beyond that, we have Katipunan Cup, which is a 30-over league. So it's a one-day domestic league. That's a shorter kind of league. Teams play about 6 matches in that a season. So it's kind of the end of season, last tournament for teams. And beyond that, we run a domestic sixes annually. We run an international sixes in Clark Pampanga up further north. So that helps us to showcase cricket in a different region, and also get tourists involved to come and join with us. And last year we trialled a college cricket sixes. So during the Holy Week, which is what we call Easter over here, which is the Thursday through to the Sunday, there's no school classes. So generally league matches have always been played on the Saturdays and Sundays of that 4-day weekend. So we decided this last season that just went by, that why not have a event for college students that have nothing to do anyway on the Thursday and the Friday. So we ran a 2-day competition there. We had 12 teams, and 3 of them were all Filipino. So it was excellent to see over 2 days, when you only have 2 teams playing at once and you have 10 teams watching, how friendships are built between foreign students and local students. And to see, it's really encouraging when you see players sharing tips with each other and their cultures with each other and those kind of things, which is part of why our ground is Friendship Oval. So that's a bit of the thought process behind it.
Yeah. Sounds like you've got some good development happening. What are your more long-term goals? Do you have any specific vision that you're trying to aim for, or just get as much cricket in as possible?
A bit of both. I think the more cricket, the merrier. But we want to do it in a way that's sustainable. So we very much target our pathways to what fits within the budget we have, within our funding mechanisms and things of such, so that we can provide. For example, if we do school visits, we want to make sure that we have a structure where we have training programs that players can join weekly if they want to. And from there, those training programs, if they want to join a competition, that there's opportunity for them to play. So we don't want to purely just go and push cricket into areas where we can't facilitate. As much as it's good to get awareness out there, and I think tournaments like the World Cup 2020 qualifier that's ongoing at the moment are great ways of doing that. But it's also building structures to make sure that, for example, longer term we can find more grounds to continue to grow our competitive cricket. And also to develop coaches here. So we want to have more Filipinos joining the administration as well as playing. And one way we've succeeded there is with scorers. So we have a nearly entirely Filipino-based scoring group now. So all our league matches are done by Filipinos, which is excellent. So some of those were players that decided that they wouldn't mind making a little bit of extra money. And other ones were ones that decided, hey, it gives me something to do where I can earn a little bit. And then they learnt the game by scoring and ended up playing as well. So it's good on both aspects of that. Yeah.
So what's the, you'd mentioned your budget, and I assume that's probably a bit of a constraint. What are your funding, our funding streams? Obviously there's the ICC, but have you got any private sponsorship or government funding you're looking at getting, or?
We obviously explore every avenue that we can. Funding's obviously a challenge for any sport in the Philippines. But we look at wherever we can to build strategic partnerships. So we do have some sponsors. We're very happy to to have Assurant BPO, Generic, and Sohitas Pharmaceuticals on board. Mm-hmm. And we're always looking for opportunities there. But at the same time, we have to make sure we offer something to companies that want to sponsor us as well. So it's that kind of balancing act of developing the game as much as we can, but also looking for partners in that.
Yeah. So I guess what are, maybe talk us through maybe the negotiations with those companies a bit, like how did you approach it?
That's usually done by our general manager.
Okay.
So that's something I'm not fully privy to.
Sure.
But I do know that a lot of the time, you know, it's quite often cricket is a community, so part of that is that people that are attached to companies or companies that are attached to cricketers, it's usually the easiest way to get a sponsor on board.
Yeah.
But we're looking for more long-term ways of increasing our funding and ways we can showcase the sport better to help sponsors get good value for money in doing so as well.
Yeah, and so you've talked a bit about the grassroots level, but we're here watching the, I guess, professional side play. What exactly is the, I guess, standard of professionalism? Are there contracts or?
So we generally, a lot of our players are based here, so they've played for a long time in the Philippines. And then we've got some players that are Filipinos that come from overseas as well. So very much our basis of the team is a deep-rooted love for the country. And I think in our team meetings and group discussions before matches, before warm-ups, before every kind of training session, that it's made very clear to every player that the main purpose we're here is to represent this nation. So there's an immense amount of responsibility and pride in that for each player. As for contracts and that, not so much at the stage, but you know, the more we develop with things like this, the more we're looking into those kind of things. So I'd say it's not far off, but that's something that structurally we have to put in place properly before we can do that.
Yeah. And pardon me. So you mentioned the other day some interesting, I guess, background on how this Das Marinas facility came to be. Could you talk us through the Friendship Oval and how it sits in the Philippines cricket's development plans?
Sure. So the school here has a bunch of medical students, quite a few, from India. And the school president one day saw the students on the soccer field that they have here playing something. And he said, I don't understand. What is this? Why are all the students playing this? What is... So he asked around and found out.
Yeah.
And they played it as a... They have a thing called Talakasan here, which is like a sports festival. So each different section of the college, like each course, compete against each other in various athletic disciplines. Mm. So basketball, volleyball, relay races, and anything in between. Mm. Chess, you know.
Yeah.
And so he decided, well, why don't we put it as an exhibition sport and see what it looks like and have the students appraise it, I guess.
Mm.
So the foreign students that were here played a match and the president watched it, and after that he's like, there's something in this. This is an interesting sport. So through the partnership that he and Faisal had built, Faisal is the general manager of Philippine Cricket Association, they reached out to each other and found a common interest and a common goal in facilitating a sport that doesn't generally get a lot of help when it comes to things like land. So the school had some land and said, we'd love to work out a way that we can build a facility. So within 2 years, it's gone from purely a synthetic wicket in the middle of a grass field to as you can see it now with
proper stand,
player sheds, and cricket and nets and netting all around the outside so people's cars don't get hit.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. Also, yeah, stops a lot of the
sight screens and So it's come a long way in a short time, but we always look at, they're the kind of things we plan to. So first it was, okay, let's get a really nice ground. Let's get a ground that's full size that people are going to be really happy to play on. And the next thing was, okay, let's get some training nets in. Let's get some sight screens in. So we're always looking to build the facility.
Yeah.
But we think that it's a way that when the right opportunity comes up, that we'll be able to duplicate it to show, like, this is the progress of the ground we already have, and this is how we can achieve it here.
You mentioned the land issue, and I know with the Japanese as well, land is at a premium.
Yeah.
Could you talk us through maybe the why Das Marinus specifically?
So there's a few pluses to Das Marinus. It's a very progressive city, so they're very forward-thinking. It's quite developed for a provincial city as well. So that's obviously a positive, because anywhere that's looking at new ideas and new possibilities, when something that's foreign to people that are locals comes along, they give it a bit more time and they actually have a think about, what could this be like? What does it look like? How does it? So there's a plus in that. It's one big plus is it's not too far from Manila. So depending on traffic, you're looking at 1 to 2 hours travel. So for a lot of the players being based in the capital, it's quite possible for them to travel down, you know, every weekend or every second weekend to come and play. Also, it's a big part of it is that having sport in the provinces is a great thing, because a lot of sports are Manila-centric, so most of the professional sporting events historically have been held in Manila. So we wanted to look at other places that we could provide an outlet for them to showcase their city and their provinces as well. So I think it's a positive all around for everyone in those aspects.
Mm. And also the land thing, because I guess land in Manila, pretty hard to get hold of.
Yeah, correct. It's even in the provinces, like, large tracts of land are quite difficult. And even when they're available, they're extremely expensive. So when an opportunity presents itself to see the kind of quality of land that is here, but also the size of it, it's something we couldn't turn down.
So going back more to the professional side of things, the ICC's recently awarded T20 international status to every member starting from next year. How has that affected you guys at all, or has it changed any plans or brought anything forward?
Yeah, well, I think with we've been in process of trying to build a women's national team, so we already have a men's national team, but that's certainly a positive when it comes to the fact that we're getting close to having one, is that when they start, they'll be awarded full international status. As for the men, I think the same thing is that if you're representing your nation, it's the highest level you can play at, and it doesn't matter whether your nation's a massive cricket nation or a tiny cricket nation that's developing, it's still the highest honour. It's still above playing professionally, even for the smaller nations where usually it's completely amateur. So there's nothing can beat representing your nation. So I think the fact that they're giving 2020 international status, it shows that they're giving the proper respect to players that are playing at the highest level, regardless of where they were born or their nationality. So I think that's a really positive step from the ICC. And I think it will help promote cricket in a lot of countries that maybe didn't have that support before, because it shows that regardless of whether you're Australia or you're Finland or you're the Philippines or you're Argentina or you're India, you're all at the same standing when it comes to 2020 cricket. So I think it really helps bridge the gap between the top nations and the emerging nations.
So the, I guess, continuing focus from the ICC on 2020 as the format for development, you mentioned that your leagues were mostly 2020 anyway. Was that because of the ICC's focus, or was that just a decision you made?
I think it's a practical decision. It means that you can fit more teams into play. So that's one big thing, is the time factor of it. So for working professionals, like, playing for the whole day is not necessarily an option. Or if it's their one day off a week, they're not going to want to spend the whole day away from their family. So I think from a time factor, it's a really convenient type of cricket, more accessible to a lot more people. And also, I think from a development standpoint, for players that are new to the game or learning the game, it's maximum of 3 hours. So you're not in the sun all day. You get tired, obviously, if you're new to it, but it's not like playing three-day cricket. So I think it's a really positive step. Obviously, with some of the younger guys, when they're watching highlights on YouTube and things like that to learn what different players are like, can be a little bit detrimental to teaching correct technique. But I think that's just a coaching adjustment that you have to make, and explain to kids that that's what you want to aspire to one day, but not before you learn how to play a forward defensive shot.
Man after my own heart.
But I think, it's one of those things where you can fit more players in per day on a ground. That gets more people involved. You get more people involved, then there's more interest. They tell their friends. And I think, too, that like the standard of cricket this week at the 2020 World Cup here, it's incredible when you look at how close the matches are. And when you do get two evenly matched teams, they're sensational games to watch, because every ball counts. So I think when you teach young players that there's a lot of pressure in cricket at times, if you really want to be competitive and win, that helps them build a toughness. So if the last ball needs to go for four for a win, like last year, one of the highlights for me as a coach was seeing one of the Filipino students come out to bat at number 11 in an under-19s match with four to win left off the last ball, and you late cut the ball for four. Yeah. And the entire team just rushed onto the field, picked him up by the shoulders, and so there's things like that, that they're the little moments that 2020 provide that sometimes longer forms of cricket don't, where they can peter out into a no result, or they can slowly, deteriorate into that team's going to win, we'll just finish the match. So I think in a lot of ways, 2020 is an exciting brand of cricket for more people to watch.
Yeah. So you found it really helpful with your, efforts to get people's attention then?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we try to build it alongside running sixes. So if we have students that are around and they're in our training squad, we don't just train them. We might train them for 2-3 weeks and then say, okay, we want you to experience it, come out and try it, and we'll play 6-on-6. So it's not as big an adjustment from 5 or 6 over cricket to 20 that it is to a 40 over match or a 50 over match. So it's a good transitional type way to do it, we find, is sixes cricket works well to get people in the door and to get people try it. And then out of that, you get maybe 2 or 3 out of every 6 or 7 that try sixes that say, this is really for me. We really want to see what the longer forms are like. So
you're building. You mentioned as a coach, so you are doing some coaching for this tournament as well. So I guess, what are some of the, more technical aspects you've tried to instill in the national side here? What are some key areas you guys have targeted?
Sure. I think with the national side, it's a lot of it's not so much technical, really. At that level, you've got very good players that know what they're doing. So a lot of it's just mindset, sticking to your tactics, executing your plans. Everybody as a team knowing where the ball should go when you're bowling. things like that, where the fielders are bowling to that field, batting wise, when to push, when to consolidate, those kind of things. So I think the technical aspect of cricket is not so hard when you get high performance generally, because the players are skilled enough to know what they're doing. So it's only minor things when it comes to that.
Yeah, and just with the... Oh, sorry, I've lost my question. The cultural side of things. You've been running these programs for a little while now.
Yeah.
How much headway are you making in getting cricket to kind of break into the spirit of Dasmariñas? Like, how much cricket culture are you seeing around here?
Yeah, it's building. Obviously, we'd like it to be citywide. We'd like everyone to be involved. But there's been gradual growth over the last 2 years. It's consistent too, so that's really encouraging, is that, you know, say you have a training squad that starts with 25, 30. The next month you're at 35, the next month you're at 40, you know. And you lose a few here and there that, you know, move away, or that their parents say, no, you have to start working or things like that. But we're getting more in than we lose, and we're retaining a good portion of our players. So for me, that's the big thing, is the player retention.
Yep.
If you can retain players for 2, 3, 4 years, that they become the ambassadors of the sport themselves. So even to the fact of some of our players, they bring their younger brothers now or their younger sisters, and that kind of stuff's really encouraging. So I think that helps.
And yeah, I guess just on that player retention, what are maybe some of the key areas where players do drop off, and like, do you have any plans to try and combat that?
A lot of the time it's a practical aspect of how life is. So, you know, a student finishes high school and moves to a college, or a student is here doing college at one of the many, there's a lot of universities and colleges in Dasmariñas. So they're doing college and then they finish, and they take a job, and then the job becomes a full-time thing. Most people work Monday through to Saturday here, so it leaves them only the one day off. So that's a challenge that, I mean, in a sport where we're not paying players as professionals, that can be challenging. But that's part of why with our Pathways program, we want to start building backwards. So we've made a conscious step to start with senior high schools, which is grade 11 and 12, because every college also has senior high schools. So if you get a student in grade 11 and their parents send them to the same college, you've got them for 6 years before they're working full time. And also same with junior high school. So we're starting from high school up, mostly because we already have a men and women's competition. We have under 19s, we have a men's national team. We're trying our best to get a women's national team as well. So we've got the top end of it sorted in a lot of ways. We obviously want to grow that too, but we've got a stable league and national team. So there's no point us going to four-year-olds, learn cricket, and by the time they hit 7 years old, saying, we don't have anything for you for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So part of our structure is that this is what we already have. How do we build backwards to create pathways in reverse almost.
Yeah.
So.
And just on that, you mentioned you're trying to get the women's team going. What needs to happen, and what are your plans to try and make that happen?
We could have one probably now, but we want to make sure that, for example, we have enough bowlers that have the correct technique. So if you action adjustments and things like that aren't quite there yet. So they're things that we think we can work on within the next probably 6 months to a year at the most. Additionally, we have a team based in Hong Kong that are all Filipino. So there's 26...
Like Filipino workers in Hong Kong?
Yeah, so they work over there, but they're all Filipinos. So there's 26 of them, and they played for their first ever season last season and won the Women's Development League in Hong Kong. So from a team that none of them had ever played cricket before to being undefeated, they had 9 wins and a walkover out of 10. So To see the depth of talent that's available, it's just nurturing that and building it to a level where we're comfortable that we can represent the nation well. So we don't want to send a side that's substandard, that we don't mind sending a side that's not, you know, the strongest in the world, but we want to send a side that we can be really proud of sending to represent this country. So it's just building that to a stage, and I think we're quite close. So we're just continuing to work on putting the final touches on that so we can roll the team out.
Watch this space. So that Filipino team you mentioned, was that a Hong Kong initiative, or was that you guys, or was it a partnership?
So initially it was suggested between some of the management group of Philippine Cricket Association and a member of Hong Kong Cricket Association at the time. And it didn't happen for quite a while. And fortunately, there's a couple of coaches in Hong Kong that decided we'd love to get on board with this. So we've got to give a lot of credit to them. There's a Hong Kong Cricket Association have been very good friends of Philippine Cricket Association for a long time. And we're very proud of the way they've treated us and their partnerships with associates. We think they're doing an amazing job for being an associate themselves with how much they help other nations to grow as well. So that's something that they should take full credit for. But also we're doing what we can to support that team in whatever we can. So we've met with some of the players, and we hopefully look forward to hosting them at our ground here at some stage as well. So we're looking to do what we can to partner with them as well.
The other day I was talking to Dougal Benningfield from Japan, and he mentioned that Cricket Victoria was helping Japanese cricket with coaching and a bit of logistics. Does the Philippines have any connection with any Australian coaches or anything, or are you just on your own?
At current, we don't, no.
Yeah, okay.
So we'd obviously be open to exploring that if there's a state association or something similar that's keen to help us out. We certainly won't turn it down.
And I think that completes my questions. Thanks a lot to Evan McCall from Philippines Cricket Association. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thanks for listening, everyone.